Hi, I'm Eric Dalma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's great to be with you again here in studio, and we're doing kind of our fourth segment on this article that you had written about the emerging church, and today we want to kind of get into some broad categories right away. The emerging church, by definition, is a movement that is seeking to redefine God and redefine our relationship to Him by claiming to be pantheism.
They believe panentheism.
Panentheism. And what they believe is that God is in everything. But what you and I are claiming is the Bible teaches theism, that there's a distinction between a creator and the creation.
Yes.
Now, what's interesting is you were out at a think tank out in California, and you had a man that you knew who had a very interesting way of explaining this. He explained it being oneism versus twoism.
Yeah,
Peter Jones, why don't you explain that, Bob?
Yeah, I was out at this think tank, which was very helpful to me because I met people that were talking about things like climate change and other issues that I also am interested in.
Yeah.
And what science actually is saying or not saying.
Right.
But Peter Jones is making this simple. We either have oneism or twoism. Okay, he has a thing out there in Escondido, California, and it was great to be out there. But he says oneism says all is one, therefore God is in everything.
Right.
And you get this Marxism and trying to erase categories.
Exactly.
Okay, now twoism says that the creator is transcendent to the creation.
Right.
We don't believe that there is some big hard brick wall between the creator and the creation that we can't know. We're not agnostics.
Right.
Or deists.
Deists, right, exactly.
Right. We believe God has spoken.
Yeah.
And that Jesus Christ came into this world. He preexisted with God and as God, was born of a virgin, came into our world, and spoke the very words of God to real people with real languages that have real meaning.
Right, right.
And that he did die and was raised and bodily ascended into heaven, and he's coming again. But the creator remains the creator.
Yeah.
And false religion worships the creation rather than the creator.
Exactly.
Okay, so twoism maintains the distinction between the creator and the creation.
Exactly.
Oneism does not.
That's right.
And so you have Eastern religion, you have theological liberalism. There are all kinds of versions of oneism.
Right.
And so I want to quote something from this newsletter that I sent a copy of this to Eric. It just came from Dr. Peter Jones. Quote, "The great danger is that the state, in classic Marxist fashion, and in the name of psychological science, will take on the religious role of defining the true mystery of human life and will impose that definition on other religious views of human life, punishing by the power of the state those who disagree." Jones says a totalitarian state always claims religious authority.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that we can see in history.
Absolutely.
The more totalitarian a government gets, the more it imposes some sort of religion.
That's right.
Whatever it might be.
Exactly.
And so then he talks about in this article that out in California, there is this LGBT caucus. And so they introduced a bill declaring homosexual conversion therapy a fraudulent and therefore unlawful practice. Now, you've read this as well.
I have.
What did you think about this?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. If you think about the state defining for us as its citizens what doctrine we should understand about human origins, about what a human being is, about what human sexuality should be, they're claiming the right that only God, that God has, really has. And that's the problem is when you get rid of the transcendent God, in under Hegel's scheme and under Marx's scheme, what you end up having is the government becomes God.
Well, what they're concerned about, all right, is that someone, let's say they go to church and they read the book of Romans,
yeah,
which you've been preaching through,
you're right,
and they see that homosexual behavior is against the law of God.
Yeah.
But that's something that they struggle with, or they don't want to be that way, or they want to try to
yeah.
do things God's way, even though they have a problem or a temptation.
Yeah.
They have a law that they want to pass that would make it illegal to try to help somebody like that.
Yeah.
Get rid of that sort of inclination and live biblically according to male and female and what marriage is like defined in the Bible.
Yeah, they call it fraudulent if you want to help somebody.
Yeah, so that you're a fraud if you tell people that they can be any other way.
Right, exactly. It's now, the government becoming God.
Yeah, if you've been listening to this series, this will be the last part.
Yeah.
4 out of 4. We've talked about a lot of these things, and we claim that God has spoken.
Yeah.
Don't get the idea that Eric and I are evangelical Christians who believe the Bible in general, believe that we're holier than other people by nature.
Exactly.
We're sinners that I believe it's God's mercy. He lets me breathe his air.
Yeah, amen.
And
me too.
With all my allergies and asthma, breathing air is something that's very meaningful to me.
That's right.
And I'm not claiming to be better, and I've had to overcome problems.
Yeah.
Okay? I know that. But see, the difference is Christians don't give up their belief that God has spoken.
That's right.
And that the categories in the Bible are valid.
That's right.
And that we need forgiveness, we need a Savior, and we need to have sanctification happening so that we're conformed more to the image of Christ, because we hope that he's coming when we know that he is,
yeah.
but we want to be like him when we see him.
Exactly.
Now, when we're done with this, we're going to start back recording Colossians, because I've been rather sick and we haven't been able to record.
That's right.
And we're going to go right back into the moral law of God.
Yeah.
Colossians 3:5 will be next. But here we live in a world that are saying that if somebody has a problem
yeah.
that the Bible defines as a sin,
right,
and they seek to get freedom from it,
yeah,
that's should be illegal according to the law, at least of the state of California.
Exactly. You know, Bob, you had mentioned the book of Romans, and we see the same thing in 1 Corinthians 5 and 6, where we see the warnings about homosexuality. Now, why should the Bible be believed? Well, the Bible was written by eyewitnesses to the resurrection, and these were men who were apostles. Apostles were spokesmen for Christ. Now, why should we believe the Bible? Well, the Bible's proven to be the very word of God based on predictive prophecy. Because the Bible depicts things hundreds of years and predicts them in advance, hundreds of years in advance, we can know that there's a God in heaven who knows the future and that the Bible is his word. So when the Bible declares that homosexuality is a sin, I have it on good authority based on evidence that that is indeed the case, that God really does view homosexuality as sinful. And so when people want to be helped from that, they're not doing an evil thing, they're doing a good thing. But here we have Evan Lowe, a Democrat in California. Now, why would I believe what Evan Lowe says? You see, Evan Lowe doesn't have predictive prophecy. He's not an apostle. He didn't see Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And the reason why he believes he can speak to these things is because he's divorced God from being transcendent, and he's made it into this Hegelian process where, yes, he is just part of the oneness of God. God is in everything. It's in the state, it's in him, it's in all that he interacts with. And so he believes that he has now the authority to define for us what is good and what is right.
Right, and this isn't just in California, although that's where a lot of this stuff
yeah.
happens, and that's where
this is just an
Peter
example.
Jones is, so
right.
it's pertinent to him. I underlined something in this article.
Yeah.
This is what they're saying, rejecting anything that's ever been done before on this.
Right.
They're saying this. Namely, that same-sex attractions, behavior, and orientations per se are normal and positive variants of human sexuality.
Right.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
But if you disagree with that,
right,
you are a lawbreaker deserving to be punished.
Exactly.
You cannot have a different opinion.
Right.
Okay. I saw a guy debating, again, on this Tucker Carlson show.
Right.
Who brings on debate, and I like the debate. I want to see what people are thinking. There was a guy who was claiming that if some child is in the public school who's a boy or a girl, it could be either way, wants to identify as something else, that that person can be helped, this young kid, by the school without the parents' permission.
Wow.
Because they're being oppressed by their own parents.
Sure.
Who are saying, no, you're a girl.
Right, right.
And this guy was willing to debate that that's what should happen.
Yeah.
Mr. Carlson, who was debating, said, I have kids at home. What I don't understand is why everybody isn't outraged.
Exactly.
That they're hearing this. You send your kid to school and some goofy things happen and they're taken away from the parents or told that you can't tell your girl that she really is a girl.
Right. Right. Exactly. You know, and so let's get back to this idea of Hegel and Marx, how this plays into the worldview. You have a parent who tells his student, his daughter or his son, what true human sexuality is to God. Well, right away, the school system that's Marxist, the teacher, would look at that viewpoint as the have-not religion. Everything is seen through the prism of haves versus have-nots. So anything that comes from Christianity is considered white European-centric. Okay, so if you have a biblical worldview, that's considered the have religion. It's considered the religion of the oppressors, the white man, the Eurocentric religion. Well, that has to be jettisoned for the have-not religions. All the things like Islam, it might be socialism, Marxism, all the things that they love. See, these are the have-nots. And so because they see everything from a battle between the haves and the have-nots, their goal is to always support the have-nots versus the haves. And so right away, the parents, they're considered haves, and they have to be put in their place. We have to jettison this Eurocentric
religion. Yeah, they're not with the whole social
exactly.
evolution.
Exactly.
Well, there's all kinds of problems with this.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're not departing from our topic.
Yeah, this is it.
The emergent church, I was doing a little research about the latest thing Tony Jones is saying.
Yeah.
And now they call it convergent. But he's testified here in Minnesota on this issue of the LGBT.
Oh, really?
And, same-sex marriage and what have you. So
wow. There you go.
The emergents are with liberals in general on this sort of
exactly.
thing. Exactly. But it must be tough to think this way because just think of the conflicts.
Yeah.
Because Islam is considered a minority, so to be protected.
Yeah.
But in Islamic countries, to be homosexual means to be subject to the death penalty.
Exactly.
But
it's incongruous.
How can on one hand you argue what these people are arguing out in California?
Right.
And on the other hand, we have to support Islam and their desire to have an Islamic state that dictates everything to everybody.
Exactly.
But they're in total disagreement.
Right.
So I don't know what they have in common other than they hate anything that looks like evangelical Christianity or conservative Judaism.
That's right. That's right.
Christians and Jews are hated. That they know.
Yeah, exactly right.
Okay. Which is exactly what it was like in Nazi Germany, other than the liberal state church that went along with Hitler.
That's right.
But resistors like Bonhoeffer died.
Exactly right.
Okay. Other true Christians hid the Jews from the Nazis.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a belief in God's law that's been revealed once for all in the Bible.
That's right. Okay.
We fail like everybody else does, but we have someone, our church, the Word of God, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, our families, to say no.
Exactly right.
That this needs to change.
That's right. Amen.
And we want that because we don't want to fail God, even though we do.
Right.
We're not claiming to be holier than thou.
Exactly.
We're claiming that we're sinners needing a great Savior, Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But as we live out our lives on the face of the earth and raise our families and watch our kids and grandkids grow up, it's appalling to think that somebody's going to go into the school and tell our kid that gender is a state of mind.
That's right. That's right. Exactly right.
That if you want to be something else, just think it, and that's what you'll be.
Yeah.
That's offensive.
That's right.
And so Peter Jones rightly is standing up against this.
Yeah, amen.
Here's what he says in this article. The great danger is that the state, a classic Marxist fashion, and in the name of psychological science, will take on the religious role of defining the true mystery of human life, and will impose that definition on other religious views of human life, punishing by the power of the state those who disagree.
Yeah, amen.
That's it.
That's exactly right.
By the way, I think that Peter Jones's thing was a lot of this was written by a student that,
that
he knows out there.
Sure.
God bless the student for
standing
up to this. But, you know, who's the minority? They like to take the high road, they claim. Well, we're for the poor and the minority.
Right.
But who is it driven from campuses?
Exactly. It's always the conservative
speakers. Who is it
that
is hated?
Right.
Who is it that's not allowed to speak?
That's right.
I saw a riot on TV that happened when a conservative young Jew wanted to speak on a campus out in California.
That's right.
They had black-garbed thugs throwing things through windows and rioting.
Right.
Well, who's the minority?
Exactly.
Somebody who believes in the Ten Commandments. Well, you're a minority. You can't even speak.
Right.
You must be stopped or killed.
That's right. That's right.
So here we have open-minded Marxism.
Yeah.
In the name of their philosophy and their tolerant and their kind religion.
Yeah.
Doing what Marxism always does, wanting people silenced, and if not silenced, they've got to go.
Exactly. And Bob, getting back to our opening, it all comes back to Christians, by and large, in our nation, failing to understand one-ism versus two-ism. A good example of that is you often talk to Christians who are confused about the doctrine of immanence versus the transcendence of God. And here's what you and I as would affirm as evangelical pastors, is that God is, on one hand, transcendent, that there's a distinction between the creator and the creation. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you and I would equally affirm that we're not deists, that we don't believe in a God who simply wound up the universe like a watch and then walked away. We believe that he's immanent in the sense that he's hands-on with his creation. He's with us.
Yeah, we believe in providence.
We believe in omnipresence. And to me, Bob, that's one of the big problems with evangelicals today, is they're not able to distinguish between panentheism, God is in everything, and the doctrine of omnipresence, where God is everywhere. So, for example, David says...
Yeah, it's really a different category.
Exactly.
So we're not violating the law of non-contradiction.
Exactly. We're talking about two different things. We're not saying that he is the chair, but we're saying that God is by the chair. We're not saying that God is no longer everywhere or omnipresent by denying panentheism, but what we're claiming is he is not the creation.
He is not the creation.
Exactly.
There's a creator-creation distinction.
Exactly.
So omnipresence is a statement about God's spatial relationship to the whole universe, which is he cannot be confined by the universe.
Exactly.
Okay, so as we are in the middle of this huge, huge, huge universe,
right,
the size of which is beyond comprehension to us,
right,
God is greater than the created universe. And you and I, Eric, believe that Jesus Christ, the Creator, who came to earth, who ascended. I've been going through Hebrews as we've been rebroadcasting that.
Yeah.
I'm editing them.
That's great.
Another fellow and I did that back in 2008.
Yeah, you guys did a great job.
We're talking about Jesus Christ, who is the great high priest who intercedes for his people.
Yeah.
at the right hand of the majesty on high. So here we are on little bitty planet Earth in the middle of and part of somewhere in this immense galaxy.
Yeah.
So far beyond us, it's unimaginable.
Yeah.
But it's yet finite compared to the infinite created God. And therefore we, with our particular needs and problems, can go directly to the Creator and ask Him in prayer to help us, and He intercedes for us before God. And so we're talking about these things that they're saying you can't even want to change.
Right, right.
Okay. So if you're attracted to somebody of the same sex, and the Bible says no, and the Christian says, I want that to change. I want to honor God, and I want to be the way God said that He created me. They want to make a law saying it's illegal to even seek help to change.
Right, it's fraudulent.
How can that be illegal?
I know.
Or are they going to say that what is right?
Right.
What about the drug addict that goes for help? Well, they want that to change.
That's right. You know, and you know what's interesting, Bob, is this really does prove the religious nature of the left-wing movement. You and I have been claiming for some time that this is a religious movement.
It always is.
It always is. And this proves because they're making statements about ultimate right and wrong. Well, that's a religious group. You know, some politicians may argue, you know, I think the speed limit should be 65 versus 60, or we should pay this percentage of tax versus that percentage of tax. We should have this policy or that policy. But notice the left isn't just doing that, are they? What they're trying to do is redefine what ultimate right and wrong is.
It's all based on evolution.
Exactly.
Social and spiritual evolution. Reading that article again, we're referring to one worldview, twoism, presupposes a world in which a telos, now telos would be an end or purpose, an established goal given to it by an all-wise personal creator who made human identity in His own image and for His glory. The other, oneism, is its own arbiter, needing only to have congruence with itself.
Right, right.
So we're so self-defined, autonomous, evolving. And so what we're being forced to accept is that reality is simply a state of mind.
Right, right.
Now, in my book on this, I have a chapter where I talk about why that is unworkable in the real world. You can't have a system of law.
Right.
Why have witnesses, a judge, and a jury, and laws that can be written, read, understood, and applied? How can that be true if reality is only a state of mind?
Well,
so in
said.
My book, I give an example of why that'd be absurd. What if the police are called to a home and the guy's in there, you know, already murdered somebody, and holding a hostage and is doing all this evil, and the police come to arrest him. They said, well, murder and robbing and brutality is just your reality.
Right.
That's just your state of mind. In my world, this is just good.
Right.
This is just my state of mind. It's all relative. You can't know that this is wrong, and you can't arrest me, and you can't put me in jail, and you can't have a trial. And how can you have witnesses with evidence when there's no such thing as evidence?
Exactly.
So the Bible is built on evidence.
Amen.
And it tells us to look at the evidence. And here the postmoderns are saying it's all a state of mind, it's all evolution.
Amen.
But yet they want people who don't go with them to be convicted with evidence and thrown in jail.
Well said, Bob.
This is so absurd and so irrational. Dear listeners, don't go along with this.
Yeah.
Don't believe it. Don't promote it.
That's
don't
right.
give money to it.
Right.
We've got to stand up for what's right and what's true, not being hypocrites, not being self-righteous, but saying we need God to help us and forgive us. We don't live in an evolutionary world where everything's turning into paradise.
Amen.
God is going to bring judgment. And he said so.
Exactly. You know, one of the tactics of the emerging church and the postmodern movement was to say that we can't know reality because our sense perceptions are imprecise. But what's very interesting is God assumes that we're made in his image. He created us in his image. And he assumes that through our perceptions, we can actually know things. And one of the passages that speaks to this is 1 John 1. And I'm just saying this because it reminds me of your analogy regarding the witnesses. Well, notice who the witnesses were of Christ. 1 John 1, 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Well, how did we hear? Well, it was through our sense perception, our hearing, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. So here the apostle John is saying he relied upon his sense perceptions, he and the other apostles, and they could know reality. They knew who Jesus Christ was. They knew that others were not him. They could distinguish between Christ and Antichrist. They could make category distinctions. He was rational. And so what we have with the emerging church is a departure from that, saying, no, we can't know God from our sense perceptions. We can't know God ultimately from language. That's what they're trying to do. The emerging church is trying to divorce you and I from our Bible, saying we can't know. And then if that's true, then if we can't know God from the language of Scripture, then what you get is what you have in California, where you have man-made religion and the declaration that trying to help someone refrain from an evil behavior is fraud.
Yeah, but they want to make a law that is true, that in binding,
right,
that we're subject to.
Yeah, how ironic.
All the time saying, you can't have a law that's true and binding.
Exactly.
Because reality is a state of mind.
That's so hypocritical.
It's unbelievable.
Right.
It's utter insanity. And I have watched debate after debate now. My wife says, I got to be careful because sometimes it just makes me mad when I see all this stupidity. I see some of these people saying these absurdities.
Right, right.
And they just sit there and they say the same stupid thing again.
Yeah.
And I say to Diane, if I was that stupid, I wouldn't want to be on TV.
I know.
They sit there.
It is. It's tough.
And they're
isn't
telling
it?
Us the absurdity.
Right. Yeah.
You can't know what's true, but I'm going to tell you what's true.
Exactly.
If you don't agree with it, I'm going to punish you.
Right.
But
it's
how
absurd.
Can you tell me what's true if nobody can know what's true?
That's right. It's
and isn't that just might makes right?
Yeah. You know, Bob.
Isn't that what these totalitarian states did?
Exactly.
Isn't that what they're accusing us of doing? If we just exist as Christians.
Right. You know, Bob, we've been saying all this comes from Hegel. It's interesting. Hegel had a source as well. And one of the big thinkers that he respected was Immanuel Kant.
Yeah.
And what Kant simply stated is you don't have access to the real world. That was the watershed moment that I believe led to Hegel, led to Marxism, and led to the emerging church and all these troubles. When Kant said that we don't have access to the real world, he was criticizing our ability through our sense perceptions to understand reality. What's interesting is he had a self-refuting argument. What he was really saying is the way the real world is such that you can't know the real world. And it's exactly what you're saying.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
That's why Schaefer's book, his little book that helped me so much as a new Christian, Escape from Reason, is so profound.
It is.
You can't.
That's right.
Because we are not instinctive beasts.
Exactly.
Humans can only live using our rational senses, or we would all die.
That's right.
Because we couldn't distinguish food from non-food. Now we've talked about that.
Yeah.
So, dear listeners, this is all a grand attack against human beings being created in the image of God.
Yeah.
It's an attack against what God has said. Yeah. It's an attack against biblical truth.
Yeah.
And we will just be totally deceived if we go along with it. There's no valid Christian version of this.
Right. Good point.
So Moltmann wants to have a vestige of Christianity by claiming the Trinity is true, so we have this principle of relationality.
Right.
So there's still going to be different beings with their own version of consciousness.
Yeah.
In his version.
Right.
So it's not just ultimate pantheism.
Exactly.
But it's still just philosophy.
Yeah.
The Bible says that we should believe in the evidence.
Amen.
Not against it.
Right.
We're not saying don't believe your rational mind.
Right.
Don't believe the evidence. Don't use logic. We believe that we're bound logically to truth.
Amen.
Okay, so let me just, as we close here, quote a verse that I used in my debate against one of the emergent writers.
Yeah.
Okay, who also lives here in the city.
Yeah.
Here's the verse that I quoted. John 12:48. Jesus said this: he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings as one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day, John 12:48.
Yeah. Amen.
So there Jesus said that those who reject the truth of the gospel spoken by him and his apostles will be judged by God.
Wow.
There is a future judgment. This is no dialectic process, but truth spoken for all people, telling them either to believe and be saved or reject and be lost.
Amen.
If you do believe, you're not holier than now. You're a sinner saved by grace.
Right.
We ask God to help us not dishonor him, but live in a way that would bring honor to his holy name.
Amen. Well, a very fitting way to end this segment. We're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio, but we both want to remind all of you out there that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Bob, it's a great pleasure discussing your article and all of these great things concerning our faith and all of these great things concerning the events in our world today with you.
Well, we live in a pretty solemn time of history. And
we do.
I pray that God raises up some younger people who will not just go with the flow, but look into what we're saying.
Yeah.
Are the claims of the Bible reasonable, valid? Is there evidence for them?
Yes.
Can we believe this? And is it true that we can ask God to forgive our sins and put our faith in Jesus Christ, who is who we claim to be and who is coming again?
Amen. We want to remind all of you out there to stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.